previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready? You sitting down?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you so much. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Thank you for your applause. Please stop. You're embarrassing me. I don't know what you're doing right now. I can't see you. I don't know if you're sitting in a chair, lying on a couch, driving a car. I have no idea. And you know what? Doesn't really matter. Because here we are, together, in the same place. You over there, me over here, with a nice barrier between us. This is very nice. Some of you could be halfway around the world, on the other side of the country. I prefer that, to be honest with you. But welcome to the program. All of us here wish you a very Merry Christmas, even though Christmas is a long ways away. It's Labor Day. That's the holiday. I get so confused between Labor Day and Christmas. I give people gifts on Labor Day. I'm totally confused. I give kids toys. They say, what are you doing? Why are you giving me a toy on Labor Day? Sorry, my bad. I just can't get these two holidays straight in my mind because they are both so similar in their context. Of course, Christmas, we're celebrating Jesus and Santa Claus. I don't know which is which. Sometimes Santa Claus was the fatter one, as I understand it. I get confused between that and Labor Day when we're honoring women who have given labor all across this country. Thank you for your service. I get them confused constantly because they are so similar. Anyway, kids are going back to school the day after Labor Day. Many of them are already back in school to battle sweltering temperatures all across the country in the 90s, not 1990s, in the temperature 90s. Humidity, kids are just dropping like flies, just passing out on schoolroom floors, and It's a travesty. It's a travesty. It's a travesty. In Detroit, the drinking water is so bad that they had to turn off the water to all the schools. So now kids are in 100-degree weather, sweating their asses off, and there's no water, which means you can't flush the toilets. That must smell tasty. I don't know. I mean, there's bottled water. I told you my bottled water story, didn't I? No? Yes, I did. Yes, yeah, you just didn't hear that show. Yes, I did. I went to Poland. Well, that's not the end of the sentence. I went to Poland, Maine, There's a town in Maine called Poland. Interesting. And oddly enough, there's a town in actual the country of Poland called Maine. That's odd. It's odd. It's so odd. It's like it was arranged like that. Poland, Maine is up near Lewiston, Maine. Like, that makes a difference to you. Now you know exactly where it is. Who knows where Lewiston is? Lewiston is a good-sized town. They actually have 5 people in it. Maine is very sparsely populated. As a matter of fact, I can name all of them. There's Lucy and Bob, Fred and Ginger. Oddly enough, first names very similar to that dancing team. Nobody lives in Maine. People go up to Maine, they spend the weekend, and then they leave immediately. That's about it. If I were a dentist, I would move to Maine because, from what I gathered, people there don't have all their teeth all at once, you know, in varying degrees. Like, I had this tooth last week. I got that fixed. Now I lost this one. So it's that kind of thing. And I never saw so many gun shops in one place. Every mile there's a gun shop, and some of them actually say on their little billboards out front, "We sell assault rifles." Certainly worth bragging about. Oh, my God. Anyway, so I went up there to Poland, Maine, because Poland Springs is up there. Did I tell you this? I think I did. And it's the bottled water capital of the world, probably. I mean, everybody has Poland Springs water because the damn place is right there. By the way, there is no Poland Springs. They drained that sucker a long time ago. It's just groundwater from Maine. It's really, really all it is. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. The Nestle company, the chocolate company, owns Poland Springs. Did you know that? Yet not a hint of chocolate in any of their water. Chocolate water might be very popular. Everybody loves chocolate. Everybody loves water. Chocolate water. Nestle company owns Poland Springs. You'd think that'd be a gold mine. Nope. They never put two and two together. Never, never, never. So I don't get that. I mean, anyway, the most amazing part of that is I can get a gallon of Poland Springs water in my local supermarket here for, now it's $1.19, used to be 99 cents, but water's become so expensive. So you got to get it out of the ground and everything. Got to put it in a bottle. You got to sell it. You got to go. You got to open the top. It's a whole big process. So it's $1.19 for a gallon of spring water where I live here in the Boston area. I really thought that when I went up to Poland Springs, Maine, that the spring water would probably be like 10 cents a gallon because it comes from down the street. So I go to the supermarket in Maine, and there aren't many of them. The supermarket was Hannaford's. Small version of a supermarket, and I go down the spring water aisle, and I'm thinking, this is going to be great. I'm going to fill up my car with 10-cent gallons of spring water. I'm looking at it. I find the Poland Springs in the plastic container. $1.59. What are you kidding me? It blew my mind so much. As soon as I got back home, I stopped people on the street, and I said, let me tell you this story about spring water. $1.59 when the damn thing is right down the street. They don't even have to ship it to the supermarket. They can walk it down. $1.59 a gallon for spring water at Poland Springs. You can't be serious. And that's when I thought, okay, if that bizarre situation is honestly occurring, now I understand how Trump is president. Weird things can actually occur. Not miracles, weird things. If miracles could occur and weird things never occurred again, that would be well balanced. The other way around, just screwing my head on backwards. Anyway, that's my Poland Springs story. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want, you can listen to it again, over and over again. Anyway, happy Labor Day to you. Hope your labor is a good one. And there you go. Most people celebrate Labor Day by not working. There you have it. There's the way to go. There's a way to go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there should be bonuses given out at people's jobs on Labor Day. We thank you for your labor. Here's a little bonus for you. No, instead it's go home, eat a hot dog. Oh, okay, thanks. That's fine. Whatever. This is also the weekend that John McCain is being laid to rest and memorial services actually in the nation's capital. This is pissing off Trump like you wouldn't believe for two reasons. One is because John McCain was a social enemy, not a political enemy necessarily, but a social enemy. And Trump said horrible things about McCain, disrespectful, dishonoring, basically called him a coward, not in so many words, but said, I like soldiers that aren't captured. I mean, ouch, dig, ow. Trump was just nasty to McCain because he didn't vote down Obamacare, which, of course, would have been a vote to get rid of the universal health care without any real plan of how to replace it. Good going. So McCain said, no, we got to replace, you know, get a nice program together, then you can do the swap, but not until. So Trump just hated McCain's guts for that reason and said horrible, horrible things about John McCain. Then John McCain dies, and now Trump has got egg on his face. Trump never has egg on his face. It's just that orange makeup stuff. But now Trump doesn't quite know what to do. He lowered the flag on the White House there, half staff, for a day, or what seemed like a couple hours, and then put it right back up to full staff. The rest of the country, the rest of the Capitol, the rest of the world was at half staff. The White House goes back to full staff like this guy never died. And it's like, wait a minute. That is so disrespectful. That is carrying on the legacy of disrespect. Trumpy, lard head. The American Legion got in touch with the White House and said, you flaunting little piece of crap, you lower that flag. And Trump did. It's just, Trump is just totally disrespectful. He only cares about himself. And now McCain is stealing the spotlight. Even in McCain's death, he's a greater man than Trump is when he's living. Man. Anyway, so, Trump was not invited to McCain's funeral. Neither was Sarah Palin, the two greatest examples of screwing up a country. Anyway, what is respectful about John? I disagreed with a lot of his policies myself, but the man was always there when it came to respect. And how can you not respect respect? Aretha Franklin, same deal. So, I didn't understand that comment. I know, I neither. It came out of my mouth, and as it was coming out, I couldn't stop it. I could edit it out, but I don't do that. John McCain planned his own funeral. He knew he was dying from the progressive style of brain cancer that he knew eventually could not be stopped. And he actually planned his own services while he was alive. And he invited and planned to have Obama and Bush, the two presidents there that actually were in the White House when McCain lost both tries. Both Bush, of course, a Republican, and Obama, a Democrat. But that didn't matter to McCain. McCain said they were both great Americans and great people, and he respected both of them, and they respected him. And that's the point, the entire point, or the largest point of this man, John McCain. He was politically passionate and driven and sometimes a jerk. But he was always respectful for fellow Americans who were equally passionate about their views. And his best friends were people who politically disagreed with him. Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States, with Obama, his presidency, they were as tight as friends could be. It is an example right now when we need it most of respect and dignity, which Donald Trump has sucked the life out of. He has turned us into a bunch of angry, screaming, dysfunctional human beings, and he promotes it. The more dysfunctional we are, the less dysfunctional he looks. McCain was outraged that Donald Trump called the press the enemy of the people. The press was not kind to John McCain all the time. But it's like they sparred and then they put their arms around each other and said, "It's okay. We're still doing our stuff. We're doing our jobs, and we're doing them well with respect." That's John McCain and the media actually having a good relationship. When indeed there were problems between the two of them. I totally respect this man and what he stands for now in his death. I hope resonates into our souls now. I will never forget. It was when I thought John McCain was, my jaw dropped when this happened, that I've mentioned on the show before, and we're going to play the soundbite. This is when John McCain was at a rally as he was running for president during the Obama thing. Obama was running, McCain was running. And he was at some kind of McCain rally, and this lady said, I'm scared about Obama. He's an Arab, and he's going to ruin things." And McCain stopped her, grabbed the microphone from her, and said, No. I can't let you say that because you're wrong." And that's the respect and dignity that John McCain had for his opponent in running for president. And then after that, you're going to hear McCain on a TV show on ABC called The View, where McCain actually explained why he stopped that lady from saying negative things about Obama. Let's listen to this.
"I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not...
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with.
That's why I said what I said the other day, and that's why President Bush said what he had to say, and that's why President Obama had to say what he had to say. This has got to stop. We've got to be respectful of one another's views.
Yeah.
And have a dialogue that's based on truth and not on allegations and...
Well, lies.
And personal attacks will be the personal attacks are what bothers you, because I go to schools and I encourage young people to be involved in public office and public service. We all do, particularly with all the disasters and things that are going on in the world, but also to be leaders.
Yeah.
So if they're going to be attacked and maligned and their families attacked, then it's hard to motivate them to do so.
I don't know. It's sad that he's no longer with us, because he was the poster child for dignity and respect. And man, we need that so badly right now. Whenever I hear this Donald Trump guy, whom I totally disrespect because he disrespects me, if I said anything negative about him, which I do on a daily basis, he would malign me, cut me down, destroy my reputation, insult me, come up with some type of scathing, horrible name about me. He would make up lies about me and spread them accordingly. He's a despicable human being, and I use the term human being in the kindest manner, of which he does not deserve. And I always throw in the caveat that it has nothing to do with his political views, of which I still can't understand what his views are. This man's only political view is, "I'm the king and you're not." It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the despicable display of indecency, anger, and flailing nonsense, and made-up lies that he spreads in order to manipulate you and I to buy snake oil off his truck, to embetter himself and not you and not America. This man, quote unquote man, is a despicable human being, as I've said many times. That's my favorite phrase about him. And I just wish that Congress or some senator or some representative would stand up when Donald Trump says something so bombastically stupid, that somebody would just stand up and say, Donald, shut the hell up, will you? Shut your trap. You flapping, mindless little piece of crap. You're disgracing our country and our society. Just shut the hell up. Somebody in Congress stand up and say these words. Don, just shut up. I am tired of listening to the tantrum of a 2-year-old child. Okay, that's enough.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
In a quest to constantly inform and enlighten... Yeah, Ron, who you? Yeah, I am on a quest to inform and enlighten. Don't you get it? We have a great guest with us today. Let's speak to our guest right now. Hello, doctor.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Great. Dr. Brian Bachman joins us now. He's a sports medicine specialist with Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And we're talking about... Well, kids are going back to school, obviously, and we're talking about sports safety, which has become a very big concern on the professional field, and now down to the kids at the academic level.
Absolutely.
So, are there more sports injuries, or are we becoming more aware of sports injuries?
I think the data suggests a little bit of both. You know, there are more sports injuries in that we have a lot more kids playing organized sports. Mm-hmm. And so that data suggests that, you know, we're getting, you know, more kids particularly playing one sport year round. So our early specialization overuse injuries are definitely increasing and becoming somewhat problematic. At the same time, I don't think our kids are necessarily, you know, any less active.
Right.
I mean, there is some data to suggest our kids do sit and play video games, but I still think our kids, we have a high percentage of kids participating in sport and free play. And, you know, because of organized sports and because of data collection, we're actually starting to see, you know, we're starting to track a little bit more of that data.
Right.
You know, and those injury rates.
I guess the biggest injury that we're aware of in the news are concussions, which are kind of related more to football, but can certainly happen in any sport. Is that indeed on the rise, or again, is that specific injury just because we're talking about it more?
Again, also, I think a little bit of both. I do think public awareness is really high.
Yeah.
I do think every generation kind of has a sport-specific topic that becomes kind of the flavor of that generation, and for ours, it's definitely concussion.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's a good. I mean, public awareness is how, you know, we educate, and education is our biggest tool in terms of recognition and treatment. I also do think, you know, injury rates may be on the rise, particularly in our female athletes, as we're starting to track that data a little bit more, and we realize our adolescent, teenage female athletes actually have some different risks, and their injury rates are much higher than we used to anticipate.
Yeah. Doctor, I mean, the bottom line is it not true that getting involved in sports on a fairly, you know, intense level, which could even be in school, your body is going through more trauma than if not? I mean, you are putting your body at risk for lifelong consideration. That's kind of a fact. Isn't it kind of a trade-off, really, always?
It is. I would still argue the risk-benefit ratio is on the side of sport and healthy active lifestyles.
Really? Okay.
I mean, yes, our public awareness of concussion is high. Mm. Yes, it is a serious injury that we need to recognize and treat properly. But I think we need to be very, very careful of treating sports as an enemy. Again, sports are very, very good. They're very, very good for our kids. There's lifelong benefit. When we really tease out injury data, we do have to recognize that a lot of traumatic brain injuries and mild traumatic brain injuries happen in everyday life. So there's an inherent risk in everything, and the risk of healthy, active lifestyles and our children participating in sports, that benefit still outweighs the risk.
Is there a difference between children participating in sports where things seem to be a little bit more controlled in their intensity, and then professional sports where it's an entertainment situation where the more intense, the more entertainment, but yet there's a crossover where parents and kids want to be the pro someday, and yet when that day comes, you're pretty much putting your physical attributes on the line. You're signing on the dotted line that, yeah, I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we're going, not only on the medical side of things of making recommendations of when to start certain contact sports, what's in the best interest. We're involved in that data collection and research. And the other side of things, from like a community standpoint, our parents, our coaches, our educators, it is still our obligation to analyze risk, acknowledge risk, decrease risk when and where we can. So as our kids play, we need to recognize there will be an inherent risk, but we need to decrease that risk when and where we can.
Right. So the two activities really should, even though they're connected in dreams, they're really two separate entities.
Yeah, and we do have to understand that a large percentage of our adolescent athletes and our own, sons and daughters are not going to be playing professional sports. It's very, the NC2A tagline of, 99% of our student athletes will be going professional in something other than sports.
Right.
That is very real. Do have some apprehensions about early specialization or kids playing high levels at, really early, because it is a setup some overuse and some burnout.
Now you're on the end of actually correcting the situation as a doctor. You treat concussions when they do occur, and sadly they can. But I guess medical technology is actually putting us in a better place. I mean, you're warning against it, but as a doctor, this is something that you deal with.
Yes. And again, where we're making our biggest strides is in terms of community outreach and education. Yeah. That is still our biggest tool.
Good.
Unfortunately, on the concussion side of things, there's no one exact diagnostic tool.
Right.
There's no one magic medicine.
Right.
But when we can recognize early the symptoms of an acute concussion, we can actually properly treat, properly turn, that student-athlete back to school and play, and we can decrease our risk of those lifelong, long-term consequences.
It's interesting, because these days we are more conscious with the helicopter parents. I remember, I don't know how old you are, but when I rode my bicycle, I got on my bicycle and I rode my bicycle. Now I see kids with helmets on and shoulder pads. And so you'd figure, well, how can anything happen? We're so conscious of this now. But it is something we still have to talk about.
We do. And on the concussion side particularly, we need people to really understand that helmets and protective equipment are important. They're very good at decreasing injury, but they are not necessarily decreasing concussion. So a helmet, particularly in football, riding your bike, hockey, very good at decreasing skull fracture, brain bleed, scalp lacerations, facial injuries, but it still does not prevent a concussion.
Right. Remember the day when football players just used to wear little leather skull caps, and hockey players didn't wear helmets at all? They were just totally out. Their brains were totally there. I mean, wow. How far we've come.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, good talking to you. Where do we go for more information?
www.nm.org. That will give you information on what we do on the sports medicine side, our sports concussion clinic. in a lot of our subspecialty programs through Northwestern Medicine.
We speak to Northwestern quite frequently, and they really are on the cutting edge. And the fact that we do that, they are very, very concerned about injuries, but they certainly do know how to take care of them. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Right? Yeah, there you go. Told you. All right. We're out of time for today. I wish you a wonderful holiday weekend. Hope your Christmas gifts turn out to be what? Oh, Labor Day. Sorry, got it wrong again. See, that's what I told you. I get them confused. It's even the holiday decorations and the holiday sounds like I'm drinking. The holiday. Even the holiday decorations are similar. Christmas wreath on Christmas, tree on Christmas, hot dog on Labor Day. See? Confusing. I'll be back with you on Monday. Yeah, Monday. No kidding. Huh? Right? Tune in. I wish you peace.